from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After the Broncos' third preseason game, Ryan, what do you take away from their preseason as a whole?
Something Sean Payton has mentioned since the beginning of the offseason program back in May is that this team is young and hungry. They understand that the expectations that are put against them are not high. I believe the predicted win total was 5.5, and this team is looking to prove that. There's a lot of guys who are coming into the season unproven and looking to fight for playing time, fight for the shot to show the world, to show the NFL world that, hey, I can play football in this league. And that's what you saw throughout preseason. It's just a bunch of young guys who are trying to show that they belong and trying to make a name for themselves.
Where was it the most competitive in terms of battles for positions outside of quarterback, which we will definitely get to?
One thing is that wide receiver competition. It's just because you have returning guys in Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Marvin Mims Jr. They added Josh Reynolds, and then they also drafted Troy Franklin, Devon Vele. So it was a ton of competition there in terms of trying to see how will they fit in the offense, how will they see themselves creating, having playing time in the fall. And those positions, running back, they have like four guys who can play for them on Sunday. They drafted Aldrick Estime, fifth round, who I think has a chance to be a really good player down the road. They already had Javonte Williams, who lost 11 pounds in the offseason, hopefully to return to the form that we saw him back in his rookie year. And you have Jaleel McLaughlin, a guy who is into his second year. He was an undrafted free agent last year, and he's someone who has a chance to make that leap going to year two in terms of his ability as a runner. He's super fast, and then he's also a very reliable pass catcher. And he had Blake Watson as well, another undrafted free agent from this year's class, who provides a similar trace as Jaleel McLaughlin. But it's like that room is very crowded, and they were super competitive throughout training camp.
Honestly, from the outside, it almost looks like they're starting over again. I know Sean Payton's in his second year, but this quarterback, this revolving door, plus a bunch of trades that have set veterans, respected guys elsewhere around the league, it just kind of feels like they're pressing the reset button again.
Yes, yes, you can say that. It's sort of a reset because last year's training camp, you were going in with Russell Wilson. You had Justin Simmons, well-known guys in the NFL, guys who have established themselves at the top of their positions at some point in their career. And this, like I said before, like this year's group is a bunch of guys who are trying to make a name for themselves in a sense. Like Riley Moss, who didn't get a ton of playing time last year. He has a chance to be a starting cornerback alongside Pat Surtain. Someone like McLaughlin, who he showed some flashes last time as a rookie. At the same time, he feels like there's more in his game that he has yet to show. Javonte Williams is another guy, even though he's been with the team for a while, going to year four, but 2 years removed from a torn ACL, and he still wants to show, like, hey, I can still be a contributor in this offense because he is entering the final year of his deal. And like I said, they did draft Aldrick Estime. He still has something to prove going into this year that he can still be a valuable piece. And then look at three, Baron Browning, Jonathan Cooper, and Nick Benito. All three guys made some strides last year. However, there's still this idea of when can the Broncos find that dominant pass rusher. They haven't had one since Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. So can those guys take that step this year? Nick Benito had 8 sacks last year, which was a career best going after in his second year. Jonathan Cooper had 8.5 leading the team. So they took strides, but still it's like, can these guys be consistent? Can they establish themselves as foundational pieces of the franchise? And that's what you saw this year. They're trying to show Sean Payton, hey, we can be part of what you said, this reset.
Ryan McFadden is with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, covers the Broncos for the Denver Post. And as they break training camp and get ready for the start of the regular season, of course, the high-profile choice of Bo Nix as the starting quarterback is one that's been talked about a ton. So, Ryan, why Bo for this group that, as you point out, doesn't have a lot of experienced veterans?
Bo becoming a star felt like it was inevitable as soon as he got drafted. He went into a situation where you had someone like Jarrett Stidham, who had four career starts. Then Zach Wilson, who had a shaky time in New York. And he gets traded to Denver, hoping to change the narrative of his career, in a sense. He didn't go into a situation where there was an established veteran quarterback in the room. So it was wide open from the start. And, you know, this guy, Sean Payton, really loves the coaching staff, the players. They really like Bo Nix. And the thing they highlighted with him is he comes in with 61 career college starts, the most from any quarterback in this draft class. This is a guy who fits Sean Payton's system well. He gets the ball out quick. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's very efficient, and he knows how to use his legs. We saw that through our training camp. We saw it tons in the preseason game where he can get outside of pocket, make plays, whether it's an off-schedule throw or whether it's, like, you know, scrambling for 10-plus yards. That's what he can do, and that's what Sean Payton looks for in a quarterback. Like, he had his moments during training camp where, like, he was still trying to adjust to everything. The speed of the game was a little bit too fast, but once he settled in, you kind of saw, like, yeah, this guy can be something. This guy has the potential to do something special in Sean Payton's offense, and he earned it. Sean Payton spent that whole, like, whenever you asked him, he talked about, hey, like, this guy's very experienced, he's very mature, given that he did start X amount of games in college, and he played for two different systems from Auburn and Oregon. So, yeah, Sean Payton looked at it. They got a guy where there is talent there, but at the same time, he has that mentality to be ready to go.
So, Ryan, we know that Zach Wilson is going to make the 53-man roster. We saw he, as well as Jarrett Stidham, on the field for their final preseason game. Who is in line to be QB2?
That's an interesting question. For the longest time, you looked at the 1 and 2 was going to be Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham. But these past few weeks, Zach Wilson has really stood out in practice. He stood out in this game this afternoon against the Arizona Cardinals. Even though Bo Nix is a starter, even though him and Stidham had the majority of the first team reps throughout training camp, Zach Wilson, to me, still has the best arm out of the three quarterbacks. There are some throws you watch during practice that Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham was going to make. And that's a natural talent that Zach Wilson has. That's something that, you know, every scout saw when he was getting drafted out of BYU in 2021. So when you look at Zach Wilson, despite all the struggles he's had, despite some of the inconsistency he's had throughout the offseason program and training camp, he's really, like, settled in. He started to understand the offense more. He's limited his mistakes. He's more efficient. And I think Sean Payton sees a guy that he can possibly work with, whether it's someone that's a backup for a few years with this team or just this year and moves on to another franchise. But I think there's something about Zach Wilson's talent that Sean Payton likes. Makes him a little bit of a believer in him, despite everything he's been through. And at the moment, I think he has that shot to be a QB2. And it's just because his talent, you can just see it, his overall talent. He just needs the right coaching.
Right.
To trying to fine-tune it, but there is talent in Zach Wilson, and I think Sean Payton sees that too. So to me, right at the moment, I look at it like your 1-2 punch in that quarterback room is Bo Nix and Zach Wilson. At first it was Nix and Stidham, but these past few weeks, especially this game this afternoon, he really separated himself.
Ryan McFadden is with us from the Denver Post, covering the Broncos as they get set to launch into the regular season. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Ryan, you're talking about all of the youth and the young guys who want to prove themselves. Who provides the veteran leadership when it's necessary?
When you look at that department, the Broncos are expecting cornerback Pat Surtain to kind of evolve into that veteran leader for this team. He's going into his year 4. Even though he's only 24 years of age, he has established himself as one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in the NFL right now. And that's someone, like, right there. And he's the best overall talent on the roster. And that's something Pat Surtain has said himself. He wants to evolve more of a leader because he has the talent to back it up. and he's very respected in that locker room. It's just that he's not the biggest talker in the room. He let his play do the talking in a sense, but that's one guy you expect to step up in that leadership role, especially with Justin Simmons now in Atlanta. And also, too, they lost Kareem Jackson last year, who was away from the team in December. And another guy you look at is Courtland Sutton, the veteran wide receiver on the team. Last year, he had 10 touchdown receptions. I expect him to have a solid year going into 2024. That's another one of those leaders in the offense that people highly respect. So, you know, those two guys right there stand out are the ones that you will want to see take that leadership role with these guys. And both guys are up for the challenge.
Under Sean Payton, what is the offense supposed to look like in terms of the balance and in terms of the priorities?
When you look at Sean Payton's offense, they're going to rely on the run game, and that's going to be a key for Bo Nix. For his success, they have to have a consistent run game. You look back at New Orleans, they had a really solid run game, and that's what Sean Payton wants this year. He values the run a ton. That's what led to a lot of the offseason moves last year and signing Ben Powers and Mike McGlinchey. That's why he drafted Aldrick Estime. There's a possibility there might be four running backs on a 53-man roster when it's all said and done, just because that's how much he values it. He values them in pass protection. He values them actually like eating up yards on offense and also helping out in the passing game. So if they can have a consistent run game, which they did not have last year, I think that helps Bo Nix, because that's going to take the pressure off of him, and that's what you want to do. You don't want to put him in a ton of situations as a rookie where he's going to have to win the game with his arm. All right, he's throwing X amount of pass attempts in the game. So if you can have that strong balance in the run game, that's going to be the identity of Sean Payton's offense. And you have someone like Bo Nix, where the key is you want to get the ball out quick. You don't want to waste time. He wants to get that offense moving. Those are the two things that stand out for Sean Payton's offense.
How is the offensive line playing in front of Bo Nix?
That's going to be the key. They've had their moments. There's times during preseason where kind of like, they did look a bit shaky, so that's going to be intriguing to see. Mike McGlinchey at right tackle. You got Garrett Bowles in their final year of his deal at the left side. I thought he had a modest year last year. Quinn Miners, the right guard, is probably the best out of all of them. He's one of the top guards in the league. He got paid just like it, signing a four-year extension worth $80 million. That's the identity of that team right there. Sean Payton has high value with that offensive line. He calls them the most important part of the team. And it's the key to team building. So they're going to need them to take a next step this year. One of the positives last year was they started almost every game, and that was the key.
Right.
Only thing was Mike McGlinchey didn't play in the season finale against the Raiders. But besides that, they were together for every meaningful game last year. And that's what's going to be the key, is having that same stability within the offensive line. The one thing to watch is the center spot. With Lloyd Cushenberry now in Tennessee, there was in a three-man battle for the starting center slot between Luke Wattenberg, Sam Mustipher, and Alex Forsythe. Wattenberg seems to have won that job because he's had a ton of first-team reps during training camp, and on Sunday he didn't play at all, where Mustipher and Forsythe really split the reps at center during the game. So that's the one question mark I would see with that offensive line. How does Wattenberg stand up at center this year?
So this is a division that has been dominated by the Chiefs, obviously, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, but their dominance in the AFC West extends further back than that. Not one team other than the Chiefs finished above 500 in 2023. You mentioned the low expectations for the Broncos. So what are your impressions of this division from top to bottom, Ryan?
The Chiefs still run the AFC West, and I think it's probably going to be like that for a couple of years. I think we won't see a change, or at least someone trying to like dethrone the Chiefs in the AFC West until Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers get their thing together. Like, he's in his first year, so he's still guessing that, you know, that transitional phase, trying to enforce his identity and his philosophy into that team. So I know that's going to take some time. And that's the same with Denver as well. And then you look at Las Vegas. That quarterback situation is very shaky. They got some pieces on defense. Offense, you know, they had one of the best wideouts in the NFL in Devontae Adams. However, that quarterback situation is shaky with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Could be a team that could be looking for a quarterback in the first round of the draft in 2025. So once they solidify who's going to be their franchise signal caller, I think that's the interesting situation there until they get that figured out. So, yeah, I think you're going to this year where I think the second place is up for grabs. That don't mean like the person with the team finishing second is going to finish above 500, but that second spot is up for grabs. I don't think no one's be thrown in the Chiefs anytime soon.
Thinking about that relationship between Sean and Russell Wilson, a lot was made of it. Russ is now in Pittsburgh. Ultimately, though, Ryan, why do you think it didn't work out?
When you look at that whole dynamic, you had two dominant forces collide at the same time. You have Russell Wilson, a 9-time Pro Bowler, Sean Payton, Super Bowl coach, and you know both sides try to work it out. And yeah, I guess both playing styles, both what Sean Payton won at the quarterback position isn't what Russ gave him, despite throwing 26 touchdowns last year. And when you look at the end of the day, I think Sean Payton made the call because he was looking at the future and understood that, all right, this wouldn't work long term. He had a lot of issues with Russ in terms of holding the ball too long, taking a ton of sacks. There are certain times when you look on the film that he missed an open target because he's looking at one side of the field. You can tell as the season progressed that Sean Payton knew, like, yeah, the numbers look good, but overall, this is a guy who's 35 years old and he's not getting any younger. It's better for me to just part ways because I already know that, hey, your style of play is not going to fit what I'm trying to do with this offense moving forward and into the future. So let's cut ties now, and I can bring my own guy in who I think can fit this offense, and I can coach to fit this offense. You have a rookie who is entering his first year in the league, so this is all new to him. This is so Sean Payton can kind of coach him to the way, kind of form him into the quarterback that he envisions the Denver Broncos have for the foreseeable future. And you just couldn't do that with Russ, just given he's not getting younger at 35 years old. And plus, there was issues last year with holding the ball way too long, taking in sacks, and missing certain targets, open targets on the field.
So, Ryan, as the Broncos get ready to kick off this 2024 season with the low expectations, what should people know about this team as they hit week one?
As low as the expectations are, I wouldn't be surprised they shock a few people. I guess if Bo Nix plays somewhat to what we saw in the two preseason games out of him, this team could probably sneak off 7 to 8 wins. That's one thing that kind of surprised me the most is the way when you looked at Bo Nix in those two preseason games, yes, they were against second string guys, but the way he operated that offense was very well, and he was very efficient, and guys are rallying behind him. So, and like I said, this team is hungry. Like, they really want to prove a lot of people wrong this year. I wouldn't be surprised of a lot of people. I predicted them going 6-11. I kind of stand by that just because I would like to see how does Riley Moss hold up at outside corner. We already know what Pastor Tank can bring, but I would like to see how he does in that starter role. And I would like to see, all right, how that defensive line holds up. That was one of the biggest issues last year for the Broncos, that they couldn't stop the run because their defensive line was inconsistent. But they added Malcolm Roach. They traded for John Franklin Myers. They get Zach Allen for year two. So there could be you're expecting a lot better production from that group, but you have to see it on – We won't know until they start playing regular season games in 2 weeks. So those a few question marks on that team, but they do have, like, if Bo Nix can play to what we saw, I think they have a chance. They really have a chance to surprise some people and maybe steal some games that, you know, some didn't expect them to win.
Certainly. Bonding together over the desire to prove people wrong can be very powerful. We know that's the case in sports. That Ryan McFadden _ covers the Broncos for the Denver Post, launching forward into a whole new world here in the second year with Sean Payton. Ryan, great to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.